This is The Anderson Files on Podclips. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President and Registered Investment Advisor of the Warner Companies, a Foundation Risk Partners Warburg Pincus company. The Warner Companies is a registered investment advisor with securities offered through M Holdings Security Incorporated, member of FINRA and SIPC. And now your host, friend and colleague, Mike Anderson.
Happy New Year, everyone, and I hope your year is starting out well. The Tournament of Roses parade held in Pasadena each New Year's is watched by folks all over the U.S. and the world. And my guest today is Steve Altmaier. Steve, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. And Steve just celebrated his 50th year as a driver for floats in the Tournament of Roses.
Mike, there are two others. One of them, Jim Famino, passed away at 50. And there's one other gentleman, Mark Bevan, who drives for Phoenix Decorating, that has about 55. But past that, you know, the list drops off quite a bit as far as the years in the parade.
Got it. So you've got a couple colleagues there that have put in a lot of years.
It's a small fraternity, but yes.
How did you get started in driving floats in the parade?
My parents came from Chicago, but I grew up in the San Gabriel Valley. And one of my parents' friends, bridge friends, and doing short trips to Big Bear, was a professional float builder in Pasadena for 40-something years. And, you know, around between Christmas and New Year's, just to fill some time, my mom would always take my sister and I and some friends down to the C.E. Benton Son float building on Raymond Avenue there in Pasadena and let us decorate floats for a few hours. Well, we did this on the 31st, and Don Bent, who was the float builder, came up to me and said, one of my drivers is ill and can't make it, and would you like to be in a float for the tonight and for the parade tomorrow? And I said, yeah, I'd love to do that. And he knew my background. My family has had a large sheet metal shop, and he knew that I worked summers there and drove forklifts and drove trucks around the yard and things of that nature. So knew that I had some ability to handle something like that. So I ran home and got some warm clothes, and my mother dropped me back off in the early evening of the 31st, and the rest is history.
That is fantastic. Those 48 to 72 hours leading up to and through the parade day is, I've come to learn, quite something. Can you share with us what happens in that 48 to 72 hour period?
Back when I got started, most all of the professional float builders built and decorated their floats in the Pasadena area, whether it was Raymond Avenue or down by the Rose Bowl at Rosemont Pavilion. And as time progressed and property got more valuable, the float builders ended up moving out the outskirts of the San Gabriel Valley. And one of the locations was Azusa, one of them was Irwindale. And so in the beginning, it was a simple task of you left about 9 or 10 o'clock from Pasadena and you got to the formation area in about an hour with your escort. But since then, since we've all been basically moved out into Irwindale and Azusa, the start to Pasadena usually starts around 3 to 4 in the afternoon on the 31st. And we get into a convoy of each builder has their own convoy and escorted by the CHP. And it can take anywhere from 6 to 7 hours to 10 or 12 hours, depending on, you know, if there's a mechanical problem on the way to Pasadena, we all have to stop and get that thing fixed. the drive to Pasadena is usually, let's just say for the most part, is usually about a 6 to 8 hour trip.
And when you get the floats lined up on New Year's Eve,
correct,
on Orange Grove, do you end up, you stay with the float through the duration?
Yes. Yeah. Occasionally, myself and my co-driver, and if I have an animator in the floats, we'll take turns going to the Fiesta Parade floats motorhome and getting a cup of coffee or a little snack, and occasionally we'll sit inside there to warm up a little bit, but one of us is always with the float, because at some point, at about 1 or 2 in the morning, they do what they call the bunching, and that is where we take the floats now, that we're during the night when we arrive, until all the floats get into position, we're on one side of the street or the other, so trucks and for that matter, even the residents that live in the area are able to get in and out. And then at around, like I said, 1 or 2, 3 o'clock in the morning at the latest, we do what they call bunching, and that is where all the floats start proceeding up a little bit farther up Orange Grove, and we basically look like the start of an Indy race, where you drive right up to the backside of the float you're going to follow, and then again, we stop for the night, and we have, you know, four hours of downtime again. And at around 6-ish, 7, usually media trucks and media will come down to some particular floats that are of interest. And ironically, I've driven 17 sweepstakes floats, which were, a lot of them were Rainbird Sprinkler Company and Dole Foods. And they were always getting the top prize. So, of course, all of the networks come down to take a look at it and get a visual before the parade starts.
And, Steve, over all these many years and sweepstakes winners that you've had for the various floats, is there any one particular float that really sticks out for you that's really memorable?
There have been so many, but... You know, back when I got started, and I would, as you know, I'm a USC alum. Some of my special floats were being able to, while I was at USC, attending USC, was driving, I think back then it was a Pac-8, and driving the USC float in the parade because they were the participant in the Rose Bowl game. So that was always fun. And, you know, my name was mentioned in the Daily Trojan, so I thought that was really neat. But, you know, just over the years of just being a participant in the parade and getting, you know, your stripes, and then all of a sudden the float builder starts putting you in his highest budget float, knowing that my responsibility of getting it through the parade is big, and he knows, he counts on me that I'm going to get it through the parade. Another one that I was able to drive was the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library float, which was celebrating his 100th birthday. And I thought that was really, really special to be able to drive that one.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm chatting with Steve Altmaier, 50-year veteran of driving floats in the Tournament of Roses Parade. And this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io.
The Anderson Files is a proud advocate for the Small Business Council of America. For decades, the SBCA has been the voice for U.S. small business on the Hill and to the administration, successfully pursuing favorable tax, benefits, and estate legislation. To learn more and to become a member or sponsor, go to www.sbca.net.
Steve, as we continue, with all the floats that you've been engaged with, you know, over the last many years now, have there been any, you know, major hiccups? I know you're a total pro. Have there been any hiccups mechanically and that you had to deal with on the fly?
One thing we're told to do by the professional float builders is, you know, basically ignore the gauges. whether your float's going to start to overheat or you're running a low battery, the important thing you want to do is get that float. Obviously, you'd like to get it to Victory Park, but most important would be get it by cameras, because most of the audience obviously is the U.S. and the worldwide cover TV coverage. So that's the most important thing. But have I had some hiccups? Yeah, I've had, I think it was in the 1983 Rose Parade, I was driving the International House of Pancakes float, and I was underneath, which was looked like a shaggy dog, looking like, and he's pulling a picnic basket with kids on roller skates. And some of the pampas grass, which is a dry material, a big clump of it fell through the chicken wire and landed right on top of the engine and caught fire immediately. And so we all had to, myself and my observer, had to bail out of that float. And ironically, it was right on Orange Grove just before the turn onto Colorado. So as far as mishaps, that was obviously my biggest. And I believe I've had two other tows, which I had no control over. Fortunately, we were past cameras, and at least halfway through the parade, where the float just couldn't go any longer.
Yes, Steve, as you've shared with me a couple weeks ago, in 1978, President Gerald Ford was the Tournament of Roses Parade Grand Marshal.
I was driving, I was driving floats in the parade, and I have family who was in the sportswear business, who made a lot of the sports team apparel. And they were making the uniforms for the University of Michigan, who was representing the Big Ten Conference at that time. So I went to my uncle about a month beforehand the parade and told my uncle Bob Spangen Sportswear, why don't you make up a jersey with his old number for President Ford, who's going to be the Grand Marshal? And he thought that was the greatest idea. Oh, my God. And they were making the team uniforms for the Rose Bowl game. I asked my uncle, why don't we give Gerald Ford one of his old number, because he played at Michigan. Let's make up a jersey for him, and I will take it and present it to him at the Tournament of Roses house in Pasadena and present it to him. And it was all on a whim, and it was a complete surprise to him, and he was very, very touched with it. And I've been told that it's been in his presidential library in one of the cases at his library in Michigan.
That's amazing. And having the opportunity to present that special jersey directly to him, and, you know, it wasn't done by the president of the tournament, who did it as it should be, and what a memory.
At the time, I believe I was in college, and, you know, green and a nobody, and just a float driver, and to be able to be in that position, thanks to my family, my cousins who were in the sportswear business, and being able to do that was really, 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 really special. Ironically, maybe a couple of months later, President Ford mailed a beautiful picture of him with a thank you note for the jersey that I presented to him.
I had the opportunity to meet other Grand Marshals.
Because, you know, they're in a separate car, and, you know, they may make an occasional visit to the float builders, but no, I've other than meeting Gerald Ford, I really haven't. I've had a few celebrities that over the years that have driven and been on top of my float, which has kind of been special, especially the last 2 years. We had Lainey Wilson this year, who rode on Louisiana, and last year we had Lane Hardy on from Louisiana. And all the years that I drove Rainbird Sprinkler Company for, I believe they were in the parade 16 or 17 years, Jack Hanna was always on their float. And so I got to meet him, and over the years, we just kind of got to know each other on parade morning, and as he would get off the float at the end in Sierra Madre, he'd make sure he came back to where I'm sitting and wave goodbye and tell him happy, and we wish each other a happy new year.
This is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Going forward, you know, that 48-72 hours, that's, you know, that's that can be a grind. What keeps you going?
Well, the fact is, it's a year, truthfully. I mean, if this was a, you know, once a week thing, there's no way I could have kept it up, or every month. But being that it's once a year, you know, I'm able to recoup and recharge my batteries. And when you, you know, I would have never dreamed that I would be going this long. But, you know, now that you're up there in this echelon, in this, so to speak, little fraternity of people that have never done it, and there's been only two others, it kind of keeps me going. And the fact that I drive for one of, probably in my opinion, the best professional float builder in history, Fiesta Parade Floats, I'm just honored that he just keeps asking me back. And I always drive his most highest budget float. And so that keeps me going. And, you know, as long as he'll have me and I'm able to, you know, physically and mentally do it, you know, I don't see why I would want to stop, you know.
Right. As long as you've got your driver's license, and do you need any special license to drive these huge, what essentially are vehicles, you know, in the frame?
When I got started, I was 13 years old, which that is Dave got rules now. But no, you over the prior months to the parade, we take the float out twice. We take it out for a test run one, where it's basically a structural chassis, and there may be a few things that have been built on the float. And then your test run two, T2, is basically your dress rehearsal, which is the float is complete, animation works, and the only thing that's not on the float is the floral. And we take it out for a test run. We have a fire drill, and we just get to know the float. And my observer, ironically, is up front. We're on headsets, much like the what you see coaches on the sideline. And he's communicating, touch left, touch right. Okay, come to a stop. And so he's feeding me what I need to do as far as steering that float, because I can't see a thing on, you know, driving this float.
Are there any markings or guides on Orange Grove, Colorado, that you can see?
Well, there's a pink line that is in the center of the street, which is a guide. Occasionally over the years, I've been able to see the pink line, but it really does me no good, because my float may be 55, 60 feet long, and I'm in the back end of that float, and, well, I may be on the line that second, but the front of the float is drifting left or right. So that pink line is a guide and a navigation point for the observer who looks out the front of the float concealed and gives us me the instruction on what I need to do with the float.
Do you team with the watch at all, or from year to year, or do you have a new partner that comes onto the float to give that direction?
I think in all the years, I've probably had six different observers. I was blessed to have one who's a dear friend of mine, Steve Smith, who retired about 4 years ago, but he was my observer for 33 parades. And boy, I'll tell you, you have a real good comfort level knowing you have somebody that knows what the characteristics of that float are and is very, very responsible and, you know, knows what he's doing, because really he's the most important person inside that float, because, you know, he can give me any direction he wants and we end up, God forbid, in a crowd or, you know, something going wrong. So, you know, they're the most important thing. And then I brought a new person on this last year and he did a wonderful job. He was a kind of a car guy and mechanically inclined, and We went out for our two test runs, and he did an incredible job. So I knew going into the parade, getting to Pasadena, doing the parade, and taking the float back to Irwindale, we would have no problem.
Steve, we wish you all the best going forward, and we'll look for you for the 51st run down Colorado Boulevard.
Being that we know each other on a personal level, you'll be one of the first to know which float I'm in. And, you know, and I think with all of this, Happy New Year to everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks so much, my friend.
Okay, take care.
Thank you, Daryl Wayne, recording engineer, Mark Allen, producer. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to The Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclips.io and check on the financial channel for more episodes and information on The Anderson Files.